Hi, welcome back to Bring Back the Bustle, the podcast about revitalizing rural America. I'm Siobhan Jones, your host. The Rural Revitalization Fund is a rural opportunity zone fund that invests in rural communities where AI data centers are locating. Our website is ruralqrof.com. That's ruralqrof.com. The Rural Fund uses money from many sources, including tax incentives and economic development incentives, bank loans, and individual accredited investors. These private investors have one big question: what's your exit strategy? So today, I'm going to talk about what happens if AI data centers leave a community where we're invested. But why the worry? As you may be aware, there's a growing concern within the investment community that AI companies are overspending and that we may be in an AI bubble. There's concern that not all of the major tech companies currently investing big in AI are going to survive in that space, that perhaps instead one or two will emerge as the dominant players in artificial intelligence. I don't pretend to be smart enough to know whether AI is overblown, but where data centers are concerned, I do see a trend. I'll give you an analogy. Remember in Amazon's earlier years, it used to rely on third-party carriers, including UPS and FedEx, to deliver its packages. Then, over time, it developed its own fleet of delivery trucks and began to wean itself off third-party providers. The major delivery companies then saw a sharp downturn in their revenues and their share prices once Amazon became less dependent on them. Remember that? In the data center space, the larger players are beginning to become partial and perhaps in some cases complete owners of their own data centers. Right now, they're still continuing to also lease data center space from third-party landlords who specialize in building data centers. But the trend is beginning to go toward integrating the data center at the corporate level. And that trend is good for rural America. Corporate data centers have their brand on the line and they care about their brand. So they make investments in rural communities beyond the data center itself. They build community. On the other hand, data center landlords often do not contribute anything to the larger community. They come in and raise the electricity prices by using part of the grid, and then they do little else. There was an article recently in the Wall Street Journal entitled, "Spending on AI is at epic levels. Will it ever pay off?" The article covered data centers in North Dakota, where the towns, or at least one of the towns, was taking out loans to build infrastructure like sewers and roads to accommodate new population generated by the data center. I don't think that infrastructure should be built on the backs of local residents whose cost of living increases based upon the influx of jobs that really aren't usually open to them. So I think the local politicians should require investment by the companies that come into these markets and earn billions of revenue, which they take out of the communities. Tech companies that own their data centers make investments in infrastructure themselves when their brand is on the line, when their name is on the data center. So that corporate investment makes it more profitable for private investors like the fund to piggyback off the data center and fill gaps in those communities with the kinds of businesses that the Rural Fund looks to bring to rural communities, such as recreation facilities and Epicurean grocers. So part of why we believe we'll be profitable is because we're choosing the right communities where the corporations are making investments beyond the data center itself. What this trend says about the towns with third-party data centers is more troubling, though. It says to me that if there's overinvestment in AI, these third-party owned data center towns will be the first to be hurt by disinvestment. The big corporations aren't going to close their own data center first. Rather, they're going to decline to renew their leases in centers owned by third parties. These leases tend to be 5-year leases. And so that's the extent of the commitment if you don't own part of the center. If the leases aren't renewed, we have enough history about company exits from rural America to guide us. If there's one big employer and it leaves the town, the direct effect and the trickle-down effect are felt immediately and for years to come. If employees of large companies lose their jobs, they won't be able to support the small businesses that have opened to serve them. That's what we all witnessed in urban downtowns that shuttered during the pandemic. The restaurants, the clothiers, the drugstores, even some of the community banks and the like that had opened downtown to serve corporate workers were shuttering once the corporate workers started staying home. Today, large employers are solving that problem by making their employees return to the office. But that play isn't possible in a small, single company town. A decision by that company to leave spells disaster for the town that sprung up to support that business. So what does it mean for us as investors in rural towns? It means we have to look at local politics. If local politicians aren't using data centers as a draw for additional major investment, such as manufacturing plants, community colleges, fulfillment centers, and the like, they are missing the moment to diversify their local economies and insulate their town from future despair. What they're doing instead is really paving the way for history to repeat itself in their town. More important to us, they're making themselves less attractive to small private investors like us. So, when choosing communities, we at the Rural Fund are looking at more factors than whether a data center is locating there. We're peeling back and looking at whether the data center occupier has skin in the game, meaning is its name on the center? Is it a part owner of the center? We're looking at the whole of the economic development incentives that are available in that area to see what else may be coming into that community that might make it possible for the community to survive the exit of a major player. We're making sure that there will be someplace else for people to work so that they can continue to frequent the businesses that we open up to support their workers. So now back to the exit strategy. Our normal exit strategy is to hold for 10 years to get the benefit of the tax-free appreciation that we talked about in an earlier episode. In fact, that law, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, allows us to accumulate gains for up to 30 years before the tax break is taken away. So you can hold your investment for 30 years and get all the appreciation that happens over that length of time, borrow against the asset, and pass the gain on to the next generation tax-free. So this investment is intended to be a long-term play where we can park a small amount of money, say $100,000, earn a 25x return in 10 years or a 50x return in 15 years, plus not pay any taxes on it. So start out with $100,000, end up with $2.5 million or $5 million. The longer it stays in, the more we can earn and either enjoy in our golden years or pass on to future generations tax-free. That's how the investment is designed. That's how the law is written. But what if the industry goes south before our holding period is up? What is our exit strategy then at the Rural Fund? Well, generally speaking, not just at the Rural Fund, but generally, the first rule in investing is that you make your money on the front end. You want to get in at a low enough price that you lock in significant growth almost immediately. That way, when you exit, you realize a large gain. While rural real estate values plummet when a town declines, the tax breaks and investment incentives that were received on the front end increase the value of our investment. The government doesn't take those back. So if you received money to develop assets, you made your money on the front end. if you didn't have to pay any taxes on the profits earned while the data center was opened and people had jobs and were spending money at our businesses, then you made money on the front end. So the best exit strategy you can have in rural America, other than choosing assets that stay viable so that you don't end up needing to exit, the best strategy is to make your money on the front end by playing the incentives game the way that we do at the Rural Fund. That way, even if we are forced to exit one rural area in favor of another, when you sell your shares, they'll have equity in them that results from the incentives, the tax breaks, and the annual profits that were earned when times were good. You'll also notice there that I said you just move the investment from one rural community to another. So if we invested in four towns that had AI data centers, and each center was owned by a different company, and only two of those companies remained viable in the AI space, the other two kind of got out of AI, then what we would do is move the investments, the money, you can't move the property, right? But you can move the money into the other communities that are still viable, and that way stay invested in a rural opportunity zone fund and continue to generate tax-free growth. But beyond moving money, it's important to, in order to be able to make our money on the front end, it's important to pay attention to how the initial investment in rural America is being funded. If it's solely with private money, then you are heavily dependent on the real estate appreciating in value, which doesn't usually happen in rural America. But on the other hand, if the initial investment is a good mix of public and private money, the public contribution is built-in profit. You're making your money on the front end, the same way that someone makes money if they invest in distressed real estate, in not in a rural area, but anywhere else. A distressed real estate asset has built-in profit. Or a distressed company, if you buy a company when it's in distress and turn it around, there's that built-in profit that you made on the front end when you made the investment rather than when you sold the investment. So if you get a good enough price on the front end, you don't lose money, even if the investment doesn't perform as well as you initially believed it would when you bought it. Therefore, even if our good fortune only lasts for 5 or 6 years in a particular market, we will have used other people's money to build our assets. And we will have the opportunity to transfer those profits to another area so that we can stay invested long enough to get the tax-free appreciation. Plus, our operating businesses will have accumulated profits that we can take out if we want to pay taxes, or that we can move to another town, another rural community, if we don't want to pay taxes. So while an early exit is not ideal, we can still make money because we're making our money on the front end. You can learn more about our investment strategy on our website, which is ruralqrof.com. And the QROF part, rural is rural, right? And the QROF part means Qualified Opportunity Zone Fund. This is Siobhan Jones. I will be back next week with another episode. I am looking forward to it, and I hope you are as well.